It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again. Hey, we are into a subject you've dealt with before. We kind of mentioned it on our previous broadcast, and it's the love triad and how that works in marriage and can keep marriages strong, and you want to review some of this great teaching.
Yeah, and I've said before, when people come for marriage counseling, it's almost invariably one of these three things. Eventually, it'll have to do with either lack of trust and or lack of forgiveness and or lack of communication. And in the love triad, I say this is about trust, forgiveness, and I say communion, because obviously communication is exchanging data. You know, you can communicate with, the boss or the employee or buddies or friends. In marriage, you would communicate with them. You would exchange data on the job or socially. Between husband and wife, we want more than just exchanging data, although there are too many marriages where that's as far as they get, just exchanging data. Mm. And then there's the complaint about we never have in-depth conversations. So what I've found is that these three, trust, forgiveness, and communication or communion, are they're intertwined. Mm-hmm. They're interdependent. You can't have trust or build trust without forgiveness. You can't have forgiveness without trust. You can't have communion without forgiveness and trust. Mm-hmm. You can't have trust without communion. So when we start talking about these things, regardless of which is the presenting problem, it always involves the three. So I have an article which people might want to read and benefit from. And if you would go to my other website, which is ChristianCounselorsForum.com, mm-hmm. ChristianCounselorsForum.com, and you have to search a little bit. So you go over in the archives, and about halfway down the page of the archives, you'll see the article entitled Trust, Forgiveness, and Communion. So that's ChristianCounselorsForum.com. Over on the sidebar, you'll find the archives. Go to the archives, and about halfway down the archives page, you're looking for an article, Trust, Forgiveness, and Communion.
And you're compiling all of these articles, in a sense, in a book you're working on, too.
Bits and pieces of them.
Yeah, how's that coming along? The Purpose of Marriage, is that the name of it, kind of the working title?
It's The Purpose of Marriage, I believe, is the title of it. Somebody might say, you need a catchy title. the Purpose of Marriage, it's actually going to be a two-part book. The Purpose of Marriage and the Process of Marriage, as I've talked before in some shows, follows purpose. And when people come for any kind of counseling, they're typically coming they want to fix the process. Mm-hmm. Married couples want to fix the process. So they want to talk about communication. That's a process. Or they want to talk about trust or forgiveness. Those are process.
So the love triad then is part of the process?
It's part of the process.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But of course, the process, as I say, follows the purpose. And so if you don't know the purpose, it's hard to agree on the process. So we could have a husband and wife working at cross purposes. They haven't yet agreed on or come to recognize the purpose of marriage, not just a purpose of marriage, but the purpose of marriage, the biblical purpose of marriage. And if we can understand that, that goes a long ways in explaining what the process should look like. And in fact, why the process is such a troublesome dynamic sometimes. Mm. A person might come and say, our marriage isn't working, and we talk about it, and I find that, well, the marriage is working. It's just that you don't it's not what you expected. Mm. The purpose of marriage has to do with discovering and addressing parts of our fallenness. You know, as the husband and wife, in obedience to Scripture, attempt to come together rather than divorce or rather than distance, they attempt to come together, they run into their resistance and they run into issues of shame and lack of trust and, you know, conflicting opinions and things like that. And those so marriage is an institution where we deal with those. And the reason we deal with those is because God is trying to – God uses the marriage relationship to season the body of Christ. So we have to realize that God's ultimate goal is the bride of Christ.
And that's one of those – it's just it's the institution, his primary institution that he established even back in Genesis. The marriage, the family unit is the primary institution that he uses to shape us into his image.
Yeah.
And that's kind of gets back to the purpose. That's what it's not just about having children or being fulfilled. It's about becoming more like Jesus. And his primary way of doing that is through a marriage relationship.
That is primary. In fact, just quickly, there's an interesting concept where in Scripture in Genesis 1:26, and it says that let us make a human in our image. And if we look closely at that and look at the tenses, you know, plural, singular, and the way that verse is laid out, and then we say, well, what is the image of God? And of course, I think it's the Shema is the most concise description of the image of God, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." And the Hebrew word for the one there is echad. And that echad is a plurality, a unity of plurality.
Which is interesting.
Interesting. And so he's making mankind in his image, and that image where Adam says the two shall become one flesh, it's echad again. And that's a unity of plurality. And so we see this same idea, the same echad, in not only the image of God— And the image in which man, after which man was created, man and woman were created, but we also see it in the building of the temple or the tabernacle, where he wanted the different compartments to be as one. We see it in the union of Israel and Judah, where he wanted them to be one. We see it described by Jesus in John, I think 15-17. You know, that they may be one as we are one. I and them, and they and me. And so he's describing this unity of plurality, and then finally the union of Christ in the body. Well, Jew and Gentile was another one, where they wanted the two to become one, and the rending of the veil in the temple, where the compartments became one. So it's a primary theme, this oneness. And yes, marriage is front and center as an institution that God uses to bring that about between the husband and the wife. And yet when we come for counseling, oftentimes it's just, can we just, you know, fix what hurts? But
fix what hurts.
The thing is that the hurting needs to
counseling
be—
Counseling 101.
Yeah.
Just fix what hurts.
Yeah.
Fix him or fix her.
Fix her, yeah. So the triad is this. So again, the article— trust, forgiveness, and communion at ChristianCounselorsForum.com. So when we talk about building trust, and a lot of times people will have things when they come in and say, well, there is no trust, and they'll have examples of things they don't trust the spouse with. You know, I don't trust him to get everything on the shopping list. I don't trust her to, you know, lock the door before she leaves. Or, you know, I don't trust him to be wise with the spending of the money. I don't trust her to tell the truth about where the kids are. There's just a list of things that I don't trust the other person with. And so they'll make up a list, you know, if he or she will do these things. What people don't realize is that you will never arrive at the kind of trust you need by fulfilling the trust list. Mm. That almost undermines it. What the trust that we're after is, do I trust my wife with me? And my wife would say, do I trust Dan with me? It's not, do I trust her to check all the boxes? It's a, do I trust her with me? There aren't any perfect people, and we all have idiosyncrasies. And those, you know, I forget the guy's name. He was a great man. He's William, Benjamin Franklin.
There you go.
I believe it was that said, people change, but not very much.
Okay.
But the good news is you don't have to change very much to change the vector of the vector of the relationship. Very little change is required. Mm-hmm. So people come and they want to build trust. And so it's really about, you know, building trust. The kind of trust, do I trust her with me? Do I trust him with me? And the way you do that, now we see there has to be forgiveness there, and there has to be communion. So one of the things I talk to people about how to build trust is, I trust the person with me when they show a particular interest in me, when in their communication and in their the way they are with me, I sense that I am of value to them. Mm. I sense that person tends to look for the good in me. If you're with a person who always points out your errors, you're not going to trust that person with you. Mm. This has nothing
to
do
with—
We like
people who like us.
Right.
I mean, that's just
the
human nature.
Yeah. Yeah. And so a very simple thing. If you want to build trust in your relationship, you point out the positives of your spouse. You look for things to praise. You look for things to appreciate. You look for things to reward. You don't look for things to chide and scold and point out the errors and compare that person with someone else. Because if you're doing that, there will never be trust. Mm. You're never going to build trust that way. It doesn't matter how well they wash the dishes or change the oil or mow the lawn. You're never going to trust them with you if when you're together, they're just pointing out your faults. So that's a very simple thing. Maybe it's very difficult to do because we don't, you know, there's part of us that doesn't, you know, I don't want to give up any ground. This gets back to the core of your personality being a defense mechanism and being about fear and shame. And so we, you know, before Adam and Eve sinned, it says they were naked and they were not ashamed. I mean, they were completely vulnerable, but they weren't in competition. They weren't comparing one with the other. So it wasn't one-upmanship. And so these are the things that we struggle with. What marriage is about, addressing these things. But again, to build trust, if I want my wife to trust me with her, I need to point out, I need to be looking for the good things about her and pointing those out and encouraging those things. And so then she will get to the point soon where she trusts me with her. And, you know, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Or you can make a lot of mistakes in your marriage if you trust one another. You know, you can drop the ball a lot if you trust one another. Mm. And I'm talking about trusting that person with you, not just to check off the trust list.
Yeah, you definitely want this dynamic going on in marriage, but this can even apply just to interpersonal relationships in general.
Yeah.
Work environments, church friendships, you know, there's different levels of that you'll trust, and you can really, you know, you're really working well and you're really united when you get pretty close this way.
Yeah.
But boy, if it's not going on in marriage, that fundamental relationship,
marriage is quintessential because it's designed to get us to such a vulnerable and intimate. Well, they were naked, you know, and that means no defense mechanisms. And marriage is designed to get us there if we will just cooperate with it. And when you do that, you really wind up with a wonderful relationship. I think people don't understand how good the relationship can be if they will just cooperate.
And it takes time. Yeah. It takes time to do. Mm-hmm. That's what's such a shame about our society. You know, they hit a rough patch and they divorce.
Yeah.
It takes time to build this kind of trust. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know my wife and I, we had a rough patch about the 7-year mark, you know, that same old thing. But we worked through it, and I think we're doing better than ever. Yeah. And I think, boy, we could have blown it back there, and you know, I would never have found a person that I trust the way I do now, and vice versa. You know, so it's just so valuable.
Yeah.
So you want to hold on to that marriage. You're listening to Daniel today. You're going through some problems. You need marital counseling or any other kind of counseling. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, BibleBasedCounselor.com, and also that other website, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, will have that this article, Trust, Forgiveness, and Communion.
And a lot of online counseling now. You're kind of primarily moving
that's
to that
kind
direction.
Of moving toward that, yes.
Yeah, so online counseling, just call that number and set something up with Daniel. Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal, or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel is bringing us through some of his pretty foundational teaching on the love triad this week, trust, forgiveness, and communion. We talked quite a bit about trust in our first segment, so moving on to how forgiveness is definitely part of this triad.
At the bottom, the fundamental element in all of these is vulnerability. If you can't be vulnerable, as you know, in Scripture, the second chapter of Genesis, it says that they were naked and they were not ashamed. If you can't be husband and wife can't be vulnerable, you're just not going to have a relationship. So that's a very difficult thing to pill to swallow. And in our culture, vulnerability has such, it sort of sounds like putting yourself in the way of danger. And let me just comment quickly. I'm not talking about putting yourself in a place where you're being physically abused and you have to stay there. That's not what this is about. Vulnerability, as we talk about in forgiveness here, vulnerability has to do with just giving yourself. A simple example of giving yourself, which people might miss. If I go home, my wife says, "Well, how was the radio show?" And something as banal as that can be a way of being vulnerable, because she's asking how was the show, but she doesn't know how the show went, and it might have gone really bad, and I might have a chip on my shoulder, but she's taking
what?
A chance.
You have a chip on your shoulder when you talk to me?
Yeah.
Boy, Mark,
not often.
Okay.
But she's making herself somewhat vulnerable when she asks that. If I volunteer the information, I'm making myself somewhat vulnerable, because it might not be important to her, as important to her as it is to me.
Right.
That's a kind of banal, as they say.
But that's a lot of what we talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, as a husband and wife, we've heard it before 100 times. They listen to your gripe about this, that, or the other thing, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just kind of getting used to that and showing and being genuinely interested.
Being genuinely interested. So let's start there. So we have this simple exchange. How is the radio show? And I start to offer some things, and I'm not sure how much she really wants to know. You know, I might be wondering, is she really sincere in asking, or was she just being polite? And how much should I get? So when she asked me how was the show, she was giving herself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I replied, I was doing two things. I was receiving her. I could ignore the question, but I acknowledged the question, and I reply, so I've received, and now I'm giving. Now, people don't notice this, but when I say it, when we talk, this is giving and receiving. Backing up here a bit. If we take the words forgive and forget, and we take off the prefix, F-O-R, we have give and get. And that's pretty clear what that's talking about. It's giving and receiving. Now, for centuries, we've used forget as a kind of a amnesia. I've forgotten. But the words actually mean something different. Mm-hmm. It means giving and getting, giving and receiving. So that's what's happening when my wife asks me for information and I give the information. And as you see, if we have a conversation, this goes back and forth, giving, receiving, giving, receiving. And as you pointed out, And, you know, Mark, you could be all in on this, or you could be superficial, or you could be annoyed giving the information, but just simply annoyed. So there's a rheostat on how vulnerable you want to be in these things. Mm-hmm. And to the degree that you are vulnerable, you're going to actually be building trust, because when you are giving and receiving, you're building trust, the kind of trust that says, I trust you with me. Mm. You know, when my wife asked me about that, I could be annoyed and say, oh, you know, it wasn't, you know, never mind, I don't want to talk about it. I could just shut that. I could refuse to receive and refuse to give. And what that would do is it would stand then in the way of trust. Because when we offer ourselves, we give and receive, we encourage the other person that confidence that we have in, I trust you with me. Mm-hmm. So in forgiving, we're actually giving something. And what am I giving when I forgive? So I'm giving myself. The FOR describes an arc. It's the same word that you use if you golfers out there are teeing off. I think you still yell four. And the reason you yell four is because it's for the other people. It's a warning sign. It's look out, the ball's going to be coming out of the sky.
Right.
Why is it coming out of the sky? Because I'm trying to get over an obstacle. And that's the FOR. Mm. So when we forgive, we get over the obstacle. But the important thing of forgive is not the FOR. It's the GIVE. That's the important part. Mm. And people say, well, I forgive you. Well, no, not unless you're giving.
Mm.
And that's one thing. The other thing is that forgiveness happens in layers. And so people say, well, I forgave you. No, you didn't forgive me. You know, you still have feelings about it. You know, well, but sometimes it takes a long time to forgive things to the point where you're willing to trust and give yourself completely. So we forgive in layers. We start with the words, and soon after the words, we begin to have a change of heart. Mm. And with the change of heart, we can make ourselves more vulnerable, and so we give ourselves more. And we receive. And so, once again, it's the giving and the receiving. Remind you, I can go in more depth on this in the article at ChristianCounselorsForum.com, and let me just remind you how to get there, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, and then go to the sidebar, click on the archives, and about halfway down the archive page, you'll find that article, Trust, Forgiveness, and Communion. So let's move on to communion.
Yeah, just got a couple of minutes here.
Which has been suggested in trust and in the discussion on trust and forgiveness. So the thing about communion is you're exchanging. You're not just exchanging data, you're exchanging personhood. You're exchanging person. You can commune, husband and wife can commune without even talking, just based on how you think about the other person. You can offer yourself and give yourself to the other person when you're at work. Mm-hmm. It has to do with how you think of the other person. Are you embittered? Are you remembering things that they did wrong and hurt you, or you know, and how cruel they are, or how inept they are, or how awkward or clumsy or embarrassing? Or are you thinking about how you know the wonderful gift that God gave you in this person, and thinking about their uniqueness and how God grows you through that, and how God speaks to you through that person? If you're doing that, you're actually giving yourself to that person, even if they're not around. You're giving yourself to, and that will season your relationship. That's part of communion. Mm. So people say, why don't we have deeper, meaningful relationships? It may be because of the way you think of one another through the day.
Interesting.
If you don't treasure one another, then you won't trust one another. And if you won't trust one another, you won't give. And communion is part of forgiving. Because in our human experience, there doesn't always have to be a traumatic event in order for me to forgive, because you can always find a reason if you look for it. You could always find a reason why you wouldn't give yourself in the relationship. So in a sense, all giving is forgiving, because there aren't any perfect people. But remember that, you know, Christ forgave us. He gave himself to us unreservedly. He gave himself to us when we were yet sinners. He gave himself entirely. And that's why we love him and trust him so much, because he is given entirely to us. Our sins don't even keep him from giving himself. And that's the model that we're after. That's that, getting back to the Ichad. Once again, this article can be found, Trust, Forgiveness, and Communion, ChristianCounselorsForum.com. On the sidebar, archives, and then about halfway down the archives page, trust, forgiveness, and communion.
The love triad. And if you like the way Daniel thinks about marital issues and marriage counseling and you need some help from him, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Also the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Find a lot of podcasts there, and also writings at ChristianCounselorsForum.com, and doing primarily working toward just virtual counseling these days.
FaceTime.
Usually what I do is people say, "Oh, what? You know, I have to have an account." No, I just send you a link. You click on the link; it takes you to the room. You click on join the Zoom,
sure.
And there we are. Face to face. So
okay, that is the way a lot of meetings. Ever since the pandemic, it seems like.
Well, it's people see it as more of a tool than a toy. So it's become more effective since then. And so I use it a lot.
Yeah. Okay, great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.